Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you on this gorgeous sunny day. And I feel really encouraged already because a few people have used the word anchor this morning. And I feel like what God's been saying to me is about how we need to live a life that's established in Him. So that was just really encouraging to hear that. So the word established has really been on my heart the last few weeks, as some of you will know, because I've been going on about it a little bit. Am I buzzing? Sorry. So what does the word establish mean? Okay, so the definition of that word is to set up on a firm or permanent basis. And other things are set up, start, begin, get going, put in place, initiate, institute, form, found, create, bring into being, inaugurate, organise, lay the foundations, build, construct, install, plant. Now, as I talk, just try and keep those words in your heads because I want you to kind of link them to what I'm saying. Now, I loved all of those words. They sounded just so solid and strong. And if you notice, they're all verbs. They're all doing words. It's an action. So to establish something means doing something or making something that will last. Now, the first thing that pops into my head when I think about that is those big old buildings. You know, sometimes they have the plaque in the middle where it says EST and then the year it was built. And, just buildings that have just been there a long time, and it tells us when they were built. So where am I going in relation with this to the Bible and how it applies to us? I have this phrase in my head that keeps going around, and it's, we need to be established in Him to have an impact on others. And one of the ways we need to do that is by establishing prayer in our life. We need to be established in our relationship with God. We need to establish good rhythms of prayer and being in God's presence and hearing His voice. So what does that mean? Well, for some of us, it actually means making a start, establishing that prayer in our life. For others, it will be kind of stepping up and being more consistent in our prayer times with Him. I've been really challenged recently about my own prayer life and just longing to see God use me and impact others in a more fruitful way. In Proverbs 16, verse 3, it says, "Commit whatever you do to the Lord and He will establish your plans." Prayer needs to be the cornerstone of our life. Going back to those buildings that I was talking about with the date carved into the stonework when it was built, originally though would have been that date would have been put in the cornerstone of the building, but more recently then they got put at the front of buildings for more decorative purposes. But that word cornerstone or foundation stone, the concept is derived from the first stone that was set in the construction of a masonry foundation. And it's important since all other stones will be set in reference to this stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. And the key line that really jumped out to me there was, important since all other stones will be set in reference to this stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. Basically, prayer needs to be at the foundation of our lives, an established part of our life, as the definition of established means, to set up on a permanent basis, because everything else is in reference to that. Everything will be determined by that cornerstone of prayer. Now, a few of us went to the Rose Conference a few weeks ago, a few of the ladies, and there was a guy called Jay John who was speaking. Some of you may have heard of him. He's a really inspiring guy. And one of the stories that he told us was, one of the things that he told us was of what him and his wife do every day. They have a list, and they've got about 30 people's names on that list of people that don't yet know Jesus. And they pray for them every morning and every evening. And then from there, he went on to tell us of how he's had like really amazing conversations with these people and divine appointments as a result of those prayers. And he wasn't boasting about himself or his wife. He was boasting in Christ. And I really saw a man that loved Jesus and wanted to do whatever he could to tell people about him. And the key to that is prayer. I just saw a man that was really prayerful, and he talked a lot how he they're just people of prayer. And as a result of that, they have amazing conversations. And I was inspired by that, but incredibly challenged. I don't know about you, but I do pray for people, but I can't say that I pray every morning and every night for a list of people that don't know God. Now, maybe you do that, and if you do that, that's great. Please keep on doing it. But his challenge to us was just start with 10. Just make a list of 10 people. We all know 10 people in our lives that don't know him. And imagine if every one of us in the room did that. Just 10 people. There's quite a lot of people in this room, and you know, just imagine the impact that would have on people's lives. So prayer changes things. In the book of James, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. I want my prayers to be powerful and effective, to have strength and meaning to them. There's a box out in the coffee lounge, you might have seen it, and it's got my story on it. And it's an opportunity for us to boast about what God's been doing in our lives. And don't we need to hear those stories of encouragement to spur us on and just, you know, our lives daily. And so please make use of that box, because we'd love to hear about what's going on in your life and what God's doing. But I just wanted to share a little bit about my story about what God's been doing recently. So over the last few months, I've been thinking and praying about what's next as I step into a new season. Jonas is starting school in September, so I'm just kind of thinking, what's next? And more recently, we've known, Matt and I, that we need to replace our car at some point. So we decided I need to try and find some work to try and bring in some kind of income. So Matt and I talked about what would be the ideal scenario, and we made a list of like what would be the perfect kind of job, including, and those things included, school hours would be great, term time only, so I could be at home when the kids were at home, one day a week, doing something that I really enjoyed and was satisfying. And we were sat in Carluccio's, and and as we made this list, I was kind of really crying almost, because I just thought, I'm never going to find a job that ticks all of those things. To find a job with school hours and in term time, those jobs are just, you know, like gold dust, and you know, let alone find anything that I thought I would enjoy. So we prayed about it, but to be honest, I pretty much resigned myself to the fact that I wasn't going to find a job that I enjoyed doing, and it would probably mean I'd have to work more than one day a week. So I went home on that day, and I trawled the internet and started looking at school jobs, and there was nothing, and other places I could think of. And then, literally, I just found this job, and I literally looked at it, and my jaw dropped to the floor, because it said, one day a week, term time only, school hours, and not only that, it would be doing something that I enjoy. That list, as I said, a tick was by every ideal, and it seemed like the perfect fit. So in trepidation, I applied, and last week I heard that I got that job. So thank you, Lord. So I'll be working for a charity that goes into schools and colleges mentoring young people, which is something that I really enjoy, and I still can't quite believe that I've got that job. So, like I said, we prayed, and I have to say, I didn't really pray with that much faith, but I know in my heart I did commit it to him, and on that very day, things began to happen. So commit whatever you do to the Lord, and he will establish your plans. Now, I know sometimes our prayers aren't always answered, or answered the way that we think, and that's a whole another talk. I'm not even going to go there. But I encourage you, pray, give, trust, whatever you do to him, and he will build, he will bring into being, he will start, get going, and establish your plans. Trust him. So once we've established in him, through time with him, a solid life of prayer, and all the things that I've just been talking about, I believe then that he can establish the work of our hands.
Now, am I saying the work of our hands won't be established, long-lasting, have strength and impact if we don't do those things? No, I'm not, because God is a gracious God and a loving God, and he will use us regardless. And what I mean is, I believe that there is a correlation between when we do intentionally pray and seek God consistently and the fruit that we see in our lives. It almost won't be ad hoc. It will just be a consistent fruit that we see in our life of God doing things through us and in us. I can think of many people that I know who are real prayers, and I see fruit in their life. The more people pray, the more fruit that we see. Psalm 90 verse 17 says this: may the favour of the Lord our God rest on us, establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I love the fact that that last part is repeated. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And that's how I feel at the moment. Lord, please establish the work of my hands. Whatever I do, please may it be long lasting. Moses wrote that psalm, and I read a little bit about what it says, and it talks about the frailty of life. Moses's focus is on God's greatness, our human weakness, and our God and our need for the Lord to provide grace for our daily needs. We are to seek wisdom and to live each day to its fullest for the glory of God. Of great importance is Moses's emphasis to number our days. While this poetic psalm may not literally mean we are to count each day by number, it does focus on the need to live every day for maximum impact. I'm really realizing how quickly life goes by, and I haven't got time to waste time doing things that don't make a difference. I want everything that I do to have a lasting impact for him. And as I've just been saying, I've really been seeking God about what's next for me, and I believe that, you know, set me on that journey of finding that job. As we commit things to him, he establishes our paths. Now, saying that, that's not, we won't always get to do things that we're really passionate about, and there are some jobs in life that just need to be done, like cleaning toilets, tidying up, ironing, washing the clothes, and the list goes on. In life and church and work, there are just some jobs that need doing, and somebody needs to do it. And sometimes that person is me and you. But God can still make a difference through it. I just read in a book recently that was written by Ian Parkinson, there is probably somebody out there that could do the job better than you, but God has put you there for a reason. I sometimes think he wants to see how much that he can trust us, and maybe in what might seem like the small and meaningful things and tasks, he wants us to do those things so that he can see our hearts and entrust us with other things. Now, I've been really challenged by that as well lately. There's some stuff that I'm doing at the moment that, if I'm honest, I really don't enjoy doing. I'm just not that passionate about it. It's not my natural gifting. It doesn't bring me life. And one of those things is doing the creche on a Sunday. It's not that I don't like kids. I've got 3 kids of my own, but it's just, you know, it's just not my natural thing. I just don't naturally, you know, connect and all that. But I think I've had the mentality up until now, well, I'm not that good at it. I'll just do enough. I'll just scrape by until someone else comes along and takes the job off my hands. And I really felt God say to me, is that really the right heart and attitude to have about it? And no, it's not. That's not the right attitude to have at all. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. And the key words there are, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever needs to be done, do it, and do it to the best of your ability. You may not be the best person, the most qualified or gifted, but if it comes across your path and there's a need, just do it. And he will make a difference to someone's life through you, and he'll probably teach you a whole lot of stuff as well. I love how the Message version puts it. It says, each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it, and heartily. This is your last and only chance at it, for there's neither work to do nor thoughts to think in the company of the dead, where you're most certainly headed. Whether at home or at work or here at Lifehouse, whatever needs doing, do it and do it well. In terms of here at Lifehouse, I really feel like there is a real strengthening taking place at the moment, that he's starting to establish deep and long-lasting, that he's kind of building on what he's already established here over the years. But there is a significant strengthening happening among us right now. I can't really articulate it, but I just really sense in my spirit that that there's like roots going down, and so I just want to encourage you with all that. Now, a few weeks ago, Matt spoke about being planted in the house of the Lord, and that those verses in Psalm 92 says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." Now, he talked about Matt talked about the cedars of Lebanon, and I'm just going to go over a few of the things that he found out about them. And they are huge and deep-rooted trees. The cedar is mentioned more than 70 times in the Bible. It means strong, firmly rooted or grounded, established. It's a big tree that grows very deep, high and wide, and the roots can be one-third deep, as high as the tree itself. They grow downward and they grow very deep. The roots seek hidden springs and wrap around rocks for anchorage. Nourishment is important. Being well positioned to be watered and receiving nourishment, roots keep the trees in place. The cedars can grow as big as 16 or 17 stories. Cedars also grow outward and wide. They create an oasis sometimes. These branches provide shade and shelter from the elements. As long as the tree lives, it will continue to grow. And that's really a picture of us being established in God. Our roots need to be firmly established in Him. Our anchorage needs to be Him. We need to be nourished and well watered through the word and the prayer, because our roots will keep us in place. And then we can go out wide and be an oasis for people, provide shelter and shade through the work of our hands. So we need to be deep rooted in God, so we can flourish and see much fruit from the work of our hands. So I really want to encourage you this morning to take steps to be established both in our personal walk with Jesus and as a church together, so that we can have an impact on the others around us, in our community, our neighbours, our front line, wherever that may be. So let's make intentional prayer an established part of our everyday routine, and I really know and believe that we will begin to see lasting fruit from the work of our hands.
Lovely. Just as you're finishing your prayers together, the music team are just going to come up and help us to worship a bit more. But I really get a sense that, you know, there might have been one or two people that you've prayed for who don't yet know Jesus. And that's our mission, isn't it? We're here to demonstrate the power and the love of Jesus and to be a witness to our friends, work colleagues, neighbours, people we know, our family. And I'm sure if each one of you were very honest, that's kind of like the thing that you're most concerned about, those people that don't yet know Jesus, especially if they're part of your family. And so I just want to spend a bit of time all together praying for salvation. There's a verse in Isaiah 45, verse 8, and it says this: "You heavens above, rain down my righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness flourish with it. I, the Lord, have created it." Let salvation spring up. And I would just love it if we could just spend 5 minutes or so just praying that God would just bring salvation to this house. Because we know that we're on the tipping point. We know that God's going to do something really special amongst us. But we're really desperate, aren't we? Our heart is that people would come to know and experience Jesus. So I wonder if we could stand. We'll sing a song, and then I want to really encourage you just to pray. I know some of you are really professional prayers in this place, and others probably feel quite daunted about speaking out loud. But I encourage you, whether it's one sentence, one word, to pray out, asking God for salvation to come to this house, this church, to your life, to my life. That would be absolutely wonderful. We're going to sing Adoration. Thanks, guys.